The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Mr. Outdoors is here. Greg Roberts holding down the fort at RogueWeather.com. Mr. Fire, Mr. Smoke, Mr. Outdoors, Mr. Fish. Could be a little bit of all of that right now, Greg. How you doing this morning, sir? Welcome back.
I wish I was the last one more. Honestly,
Mr. Fish,
this year, I've gone fishing exactly once.
That's all, huh?
It's been a slew of things happening, and part of it is guys that I would normally be fishing with had other things pop up. We just weren't able to do our annual fishing trips for one reason or another, you know. So it's been a really slow year, and I was really hoping that, you know, now that the rogue season is over, other things have kind of calmed down, I'd be able to get out a little bit. But then, you know, as we were talking about off the air right towards the end, well, other things are intervening, and, you know, I need to, you know, literally provide my own supper, and unfortunately fishing is not going to be the best use of time right now.
So you're going to go back into firefighting or doing something like that? What are you going to do?
Well, now that you brought that up, yeah, it was kind of interesting. I had a friend of mine who has a Type 6 engine that he had to dismiss his crew for cause, and I'm not going to get into it. It's a personnel matter, but he actually reached out to me and said, are you red carded for this year? And I said, no, I wasn't. Well, he needed to find a crew for his engine because he had a call out to the fires up at John Day. If I had been red carded for this year, you and I wouldn't be talking right now because Mr. Fire would literally be Mr. Fire.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, you there? Hello? I think we just lost him. Let me see if I can grab him here in just a moment. He'll probably figure out that he lost the line. At least I hope he knows that he lost the line. Let me see if I can get him back on, okay?
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Okay. Had 30 seconds, was able to get Greg Roberts back on RogueWeather.com. By the way, the Outdoor Report is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. Okay, so anyway, are you going to get your red card for this year, or do you have to do that next year? What happens with that?
I'm going to have to do that next year, but the wife signed off on it because the wife said, hey, if you had your red card, she goes, I know how much you miss it. Your experience would be valuable. She goes, go for it. So next year, yeah, I will definitely get red carded. I'll see how many of my certifications I had previously I can get back, you know, and there's a wide variety of things that I could get back over the course of the spring. But yeah, once the rogue season in next summer, come August, I definitely would be a free agent and able to go out and crew an engine because, hey, by next fire season, I'm going to be 60. And do I think I could do 12 to 18 hard on the line in a hand crew? No. But crewing an engine? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's reasonable. All right. So, Greg, why don't we talk about the possibility of thunderstorms and more fire this weekend, though? Because I know we're looking for it about 102 today, 99 tomorrow. Not quite as warm, but with a chance of thunderstorms coming in, that really does change the landscape or our outlook for the weekend. Power and fire, really, when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, it's more bad news we don't need in Oregon. The problem is mainly going to be Cascades East.
Okay.
We do have a chance for a slight chance for thunderstorms to develop today here in Jackson, Josephine counties. Again, I would suspect that's going to be mainly a Siskiyou's Cascades kind of thing, and they could go through the overnight hours. There's some potential, I'm going to say 10% or less chance, that we get some nocturnal storms. But the bad part is, while there could be some rain with these things, you get strikes on the outside, and it's basically a dry hit.
Oh, boy.
So we've got high potential for fire starts. These fire starts, if they get away from the initial attack, we don't have anybody out there to come in on extended attack. So fires that get out of initial attack phase are definitely, they're going to get big, and they probably would have high potential to turn into long-standing events. And at this time of the year, we're talking about definitely until the rains of fall come, which fortunately, everything I'm looking at from all the long-range stuff, fall is lining up to be wet. It's a 50-50 split about if it's going to be warm or if it's going to be cold because we're transitioning back to La Nina. But everything says wet. But in the interim, August into the first part of September, we're going to have really dry conditions to deal with. And National Interagency Fire Center released new predictions for August and September. And the impact for us here in southwestern Oregon and all of Northern California is that we are now expected to see above average significant wildland fire activity.
Okay. Well, it's pretty predictable given that we had that really wet spring, grew a lot of grass, grew a lot of brush, you know, during that time. And hey, I know even when I'm going up on the hills on BLM land where there are transmitter sites and I go on there and I look and even, you know, Russ Jump, right? Contract engineer,
yep,
you know him. And he comes up there and he says, man, I'm coming up these hills sometimes. I'm seeing some of this stuff. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad my catalytic converter is higher off the ground because, you know, there's just a lot of stuff out there that grew in the spring.
Well, catalytic converters, height off the ground doesn't matter too much with them. It's the carbon they'll push out of the tailpipe.
Yeah, maybe
so. That's the issue with the catalytic converter.
Yeah, but still one way or the other, just noting that there is just a lot of fuel on the ground in many places around here. Whether you want it there or not. All right. So,
you know, that unfortunately, we don't see any meaningful long-term relief on that until we do get, you know, into September, into October, where it does look like things are definitely going to turn wetter for us because what gets rid of that grass element will be the sustained rain and then cooler temps. Until we get that grass element out there, it is, I've said it before, I'll say it again right now, it's a sea of gasoline just waiting for the most unlikely of spark sources, a pickaxe, a horseshoe. We've talked about these. I'm going to mention them again because I really don't think people are fully getting just how easy it is for fires to get started in grassy areas.
Oh, well, some of the most interesting ways that you've talked about in the past on some of these in which you've investigated fires, in which, you know, you have a beer bottle gets left behind, right? And it turns into a magnifying glass. Right.
You know? Broken glass landing suspended on bunch grass. That was the cause of a 38-acre fire in Redmond. And I want to say this was 1993-94, but right in there. But yeah.
Yeah, little things like that, you just don't really think about it. So we'll have to keep our head on a swivel this weekend. Are we going to have pretty serious smoke impact from what's going on either Douglas County or it's the Park Fire, right? Park Fire in...
The Park Fire is definitely going to be more aerial, screening the sun type stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's the fires up in Douglas County. Those are the ones that are producing our degraded air because that's coming in at the surface. And what happens is yesterday we had a pretty good easterly push because of high pressure developing, and it pushed smoke back to the west. And then when the typical northwesterlies kicked in, it just pushed that stuff right down into our area. Not yesterday, day before. I'm forgetting. Hello, it's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. But Wednesday, that's what caused our really degraded air late in the evening and then overnight Wednesday. Ironically, yesterday when we got the southerly winds to kick in, even at the surface, that helped push that smoke out and away from us. So that will help. But anytime we get those wind flow alignments from the northwest, we could have periods of time, as we have seen in the last week, where all of a sudden we go from good to moderate air, to have an unhealthy for sensitive groups to outright unhealthy. And those periods, you know, they last in varying intervals, but so far they're clearing out. We get a new fire start, you know, upwind of Medford and Grants Pass, typically to the northwest or from the south in the Siskiyous, and we could be right back in that kind of smoke that we had a bunch of from 2013 through 2020.
All right.
It's just that will be the way that will play out. The fire starts that may happen from lightning this weekend, if it does indeed develop where we're it thinking the worst of it will be, that smoke from those fires would push to the east, most likely. So, you know, again, our big hope is we've got to avoid fires in the Siskiyous, and we've got to avoid fires to the northwest, southern Douglas County, northwestern Jackson County, northern portions of Josephine County, Curry County, northern Curry County, all of Coos County. That's where you need to be focused on to be looking for really severe high-impact smoke coming from as fires in those areas.
As far as lightning, you know, I always get concerned about the folks in Merlin. Merlin in Joe County has a particularly woody or, you know, big buildup around there. Are we looking at thunderstorms in that neighborhood by chance?
It's a slight chance, but it could happen. And I'll tell you what, you know, honestly, you're naming Merlin, but I could keep going on and start naming all kinds of places in Jackson and Josephine counties that have that same mix. You know, we're doing a better job on creating defensible space and becoming firewise in our populated areas, but we still haven't gone nearly far enough. I can drive around here and look at roads and look at things that still remind me a lot of what paradise looked like before the campfire.
Yeah, I was just thinking that is what it would remind me of, too, just from pictures that I saw of what it was looking like before. I just know that some of my conifers, I have a, I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like a pine tree, but it's like a bush that was in the front yard in a little area next to my driveway. And I kept watering it really well. But all of that temp over 100 for a while there in those, no matter my, even though I was watering the daylights out of it thing, it just killed it dead. It was huge.
Well,
been around there for 40 years.
Was, you said driveway and concrete. The radiant heat from that, the fact that it just dries that thing out, you know, pines, they just don't do well with circumstances like that. If you want a pine tree to grow in your yard, you need to place it where it's getting the most moisture and where, as a young tree, it gets the most shade to protect it from exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, but it was just a, you know, a big old one, and yet the Japanese maple next to it ends up doing just fine. But I don't know. It did not like it at 105 to 110 there for those couple of weeks, you know?
And it, I mean, you know, you put effort into trying to cultivate it, and unfortunately, just not being sited properly, you know, it doomed it.
Yeah, well, in 1986 when the house was built, well, in 1986 when they built the house, it was probably just fine, you know, at that point.
But,
all right.
Yeah, hey. But conversely, in your backyard, which is a perpetual swamp, it probably would have done much better.
Good point. All right. It's 7:30. Greg Roberts with me. Greg, let's grab a quick call, and then let's wrap things up for the week and get you back to your, whatever you're doing in the day, too. Okay. Hi, who's this? You're with Greg. Good morning.
This is Tim with Shady Cove.
Hey.
Hi, Greg and guys.
Hey. Hi, Tim.
The fire on, and I just caught your guys' conversation, but there was a fire on Highway 234, I believe is what it is, over by Dodge Bridge, where all the solar panels were. And I was wondering, you know, did it do any damage to the solar panels? Have you heard? And who owns that?
Oh, the solar panel fire. Yeah, I remember that a couple of days ago. Yeah.
I was very aware of that fire because I saw the dispatch come out on Pulse Point, and so found out exactly where it was. I go, well, this is interesting. Apparently, from what I'm understanding, no, it doesn't appear to have damaged those panels. They are still working on the cause of the fire. They do suspect it was vehicle-related somehow. That much I do know, but they're still working that out, so that might take them a few days. But, you know, I mean, that just that's the way that goes, and that's something else that people can't really – they're just not grasping all the ways vehicles can start fires, from catalytic converters ejecting hot carbon, thin brake pads that will shoot sparks out, people dragging chains. I mean, I can go on and on here. By the way, there is something I did want to mention quickly. The Middle Fork Fire in Crater Lake National Park blew up yesterday with the southerly winds. It is pushing to the north. It is moving towards Highway 230. I have ODOT sources telling me, yes, this fire is now a risk to Highway 230. They hadn't been too concerned about it when it was moving to the east, but now it's moving to the north towards the highway. If you have travel plans for Highway 230 this weekend, you will definitely want to check on Trip Check to see latest status of Highway 230, because it's not impossible they may have to shut that highway down if the fire gets too close to it.
Duly noted. Outdoor Report, Fire Report in this particular time, and just kind of keeping you up on all that, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. Greg, of course, at RogueWeather.com. Great weekend to you. We'll talk to you soon if anything blows up, all right? I'm taking Monday off, just so you know. I'm taking, so, you know, you can have that day off too, all right?
Oh, good. Sleep in Monday.
Okay, going to do it. Yeah, sleepy. We'll see all you, right. Greg. All right, 732 KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing as word gets out about their metal roofing division. Let's be a fly on the wall.
Yes, sir. That'll be ready for pickup on Tuesday afternoon. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. See you Tuesday.
Let me guess. Another order for a metal roof pickup?
Third one this week.
I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm feeling, pole barn in Prospect.
No.
House in Hilt.
Uh-uh.
Garage in Gold Hill.
Nope.
Cabin in Keno.
Colder.
Riding arena in Rouge.
Freezing.
A fort in Fort Klamath.
Brr. I'm so cold, I can't feel my toes.
I was running out of alliterations.
Well, you were on the right track. Warehouse in White City.
Well, that was my next guess.
Uh-huh.
But I can choose the color.
Go.
Brown.
No.
Green.
Eh. Try again.
Gray.
That's a big negatory, Ghost Rider.
Whether you'd like your metal roof manufactured and installed on site, or you're picking up to do it yourself, you can safely guess Fontana Roofing will create a metal roof that's perfect for your project. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Black Fuchsia.
I'm done. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
You know what annoys me? Name dropping. Here at Garrison Sleep, we could name drop our big rock star brands, but why? So we can dazzle you with names like Beautyrest, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster? Sure, we carry Tempur-Pedic and Purple, but it doesn't mean we have to blab on about it. And, you know, we could brag about our Mayo Clinic body mapping technology that matches you with the perfect mattress, but that's not our style. And that's why Garrison Sleep doesn't name drop, even though we totally could. Garrisons.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
7:34, we'll check the news, latest here coming up, and then Commissioner Roberts. Yeah, the jail. Yeah, there was a lot of conversation about that. They tabled the decision, or they did something that kind of put things on hold about trying to send something to the voters about a jail. Everybody wants a jail. Nobody wants to pay for it. Maybe you can get somebody else to pay for it. If we could pass a tax in which the other guy pays for it, then yeah, you get a new jail at some point. But it has been a challenge here because a lot of catch and release. Well, same size jail at back in 1980, maybe a fine jail for 1980, but as far as population, we're a little bit bigger now, and arguably a little more dirtbaggy with homeless and drugs and cartels and things like that. But Maybe I'm speaking outside of school. So we'll have that coming up. And speaking of school, Michael Williams did text message me back. We will talk further. I guess the long knives are out for him for speaking out of school about what's going on with safety in the 549C Medford School District. So we'll have that conversation coming up here, too. An email of the day here, and that is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And they have an in-house lab, and I don't know if you've ever tried that place out, but I have. And it is so cool to say, okay, they got your tooth ready, and then they can get you that crown in maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, as they get their milling machine going in the lab, and it's really cool. But they can do that. They're very proud of that. You don't have to send it out of town all the time like they used to have to do that. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And the Reverend David writes in this morning, Bill, everyone has an opinion about how well President Trump did at the Black Journalists Conference this week. My opinion is that he was Trump. Rick Manning and you have similar opinions that he was terrible. But Scott Adams, you know, the Dilbert guy, thinks that he was perfect. So who knows? I guess we will find out in November. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just a big fan of when you have such a narrow needle for Trump to thread in a country which is largely real liberals slash communists and things like that. You have to do things smart, and you better prepare for any possibility. You know, he had to figure that he was going to be asked about the DEI thing to kind of say, well, I don't know. You know, is she? It just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work for me. You know, does it drive turnout for you, right? That's the thing. Does it hurt the turnout for your enemy? No. In fact, if anything, I think in many black journalists that what Trump did this week helped turnout for Kamala. And that's not good. So you got to be a little smarter. Of course, I don't know if it's the campaign manager that is doing this or not. There's also the challenge, though, that when you're a powerful man like President Trump, does anyone really tell you anything? It's always that possibility. 737 at KMED. All right. 261-5444 is a number I want you to write down and remember. You know, maybe you put it on a tattoo there. You know, if you're into tattoos and things like that. My body's so perfect, I would never do a tattoo. But if you do, that's fine. All right? But 261-5444 is the number for Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Insurance rates have just been exploding, just like everything else. You know, the grocery store, energy costs, you know, that kind of thing. And insurance, too. Steve can help go to bat for you and make some sense, get good coverage, maybe if you haven't been able to get coverage, or save money on coverage that will really help you out. And he ended up saving me money on car insurance. We ended up doing a little rework on car insurance. And boy, I was saving, you know, quite a bit of money now. And he can do that kind of stuff for you, too. Home, auto, RV, all does it. He's an independent, works with many. I've told you this before, but just call him this morning. Get a quote, 261-5444, 261-5444. You can also find him online at skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Plowser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Plowser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Plowser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. As wildfires ravage the state, the U.S. Forest Service is carefully watching the weather conditions for the weekend, with lightning expected in southern Oregon tomorrow, expanding Sunday into almost all of central and eastern Oregon. The local post office is having a rally at the Vogel Plaza in Medford Saturday morning to protect Oregon's vote-by-mail deliveries. It's a pushback on Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Joy's ironically named Delivering for America plan, which costs more and has caused major delays in prescription and ballot deliveries. Well, Oregon is number two, the second most expensive state to own a car. Money Geek looked into gas prices, annual toll and fee costs, annual maintenance costs, and auto insurance prices for each state. And what they discovered, based on those factors, Maryland was the most expensive state to own a car, followed closely by number two, Oregon. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Getting ready to refinance or sell your property? Once you get the process started, there'll be appraisals and inspections and, yes, well tests. So get ahead of the game and get your water tested now. You'll get the immediate peace of mind that comes with knowing what's in your water, plus you'll be able to close the deal faster. The team at Grants Pass Water Lab are ready to help. Look us up online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
7:42. By the way, I want to give you a heads up at Diner 62. We're going to have a Diner 62 quiz next hour, but I just wanted to, sad news that Diner 62 is closed this morning. It's not that they don't want to be open and stuffing you full of all those goodies that we're always talking about, but the air conditioning system there blew out. And when you have those big hot grills, you got to have air conditioning, especially when you're talking, you know, 102, 103, you know, that sort of thing. And they're working on that and hope to be reopened ASAP, okay? Just wanted to let you know. And Diner 62 folks let us know about that. All right, Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts joins me this morning. Hello, Colleen. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yep. You know, the country's split politically. We know about that, like about a 50-50 thing. And then when it came to Jackson County folks on how to pay, or should we have a new jail and pay for it somehow, pretty much a split vote came out of that, too, in the survey, huh? What's the story? Because I know that things were sort of tabled. There was a proposal. There was a study done. And I was wondering if you can kind of bring some understanding. Or maybe you're just as confused as I am about the whole thing, huh?
Well, we sure can discuss it.
Okay.
We did pay $32,000 for a survey. And we did in 2018 as well. And from that survey, there was also more opposition than support. And and when it went referred to the voters, the voting percentage was almost mirrored the survey. So I personally, I have a lot of confidence in the survey, even though it's a small portion of our people being surveyed. It sure runs true, in my opinion. From what I've seen, and there hit the opinion of this market that did the surveys felt that in order to refer the ballot measure, it really we needed to have at least a high 50% support to 60 to base referring it, and it didn't. No matter what they presented in their questioning, it never reached that threshold.
So it never reached a comfortable thing to make it worthwhile doing then, right? That's kind of what I'm hearing then?
Exactly. And so it didn't. It isn't being referred. We brought it back Tuesday for discussion of the board, and it didn't get referred. I was prepared to say, no, let's not refer it. But it was a motion to table it.
So what does it mean when you have what does it mean when you have a motion to table it versus, hey, we're just not going to refer it? What happens?
And that really isn't clearly defined at this point, in my opinion. I voted against that because our decision was, are we going to refer it or not? And the sheriff wants his goal. He wants to go out and get more information to the public, mm-hmm. to the communities, to the cities, to do this district like we did last time. We have to have all the cities agree to putting it on the ballot and be included in the district. There's a lot of footwork once we do vote to refer it, and the sheriff feels he can get more information out there, and we asked what, he's going to get that back to us, to the board, in a few weeks, what those future steps look like. Because that was my question. So what is going to supersede the survey mm-hmm. to change the mind to refer it to the voters? And that's pretty undefined. I think in the sheriff's, and not to speak for him, but the criminal justice system really is an integrated, it's not just a jail anymore. And there is a lot of treatment options for behavior health and drug addiction in the jail that will be offered. And if that information was not understood by the voters, I don't know. I think the support by some of the opposition was that we need to have that integrated into, there's property, extra property. We did secure property years ago for a jail. I mean, there's no question.
So you know where it'll go if you ever, if you're able to go to get it. And I remember even in 1980 when it opened, it was not the way that you would be designing a jail now. So I know that there was always challenges with this. Here is kind of where I'm wondering, though, what were the proposals as far as how much per thousand? And do you recall, did they put that in the survey, or did they just have sort of this amorphous or etheric, would you like to pay more for a jail? You know, that kind of thing.
They presented a lot of different ways, but yes, the cost was presented for two options, for a capacity of a jail with 776 capacity. Mm-hmm. It's about $1.57 a thousand, and that was kind of the preferred option versus a smaller 1.5 pod jail of 624 bed capacity. That I think is about 20 cents a thousand less. It wasn't much less, and that went down significantly in the survey.
Oh.
The lower option was not even a better option for those surveyed. So they are looking at the two pod formula. But you know, the one thing that I don't believe that was presented in the survey that was presented to us when we initially talked about what we were looking at, this was in a discussion in April, that this is a projected 20-year plan for the building and operating of the jail. And at year 21, the county immediately is almost $9.7 million that will be in a deficit.
Oh, in the hole.
So
after 21 years, yeah. Assuming nothing else changes, you're in the hole. Okay, that's a problem. All right.
So what happens then? They're going to go back to the taxpayers for more money, or they close the jail, right?
Hmm.
And so I think we have to look at the future. I know I won't be here probably 20 years, but
we'll be here in 20 years. We don't know. Yeah, let it be someone else's problem, right, Commissioner?
Yeah.
Yikes.
And that is a concern. And I think, for my view, I don't oppose, nothing would prevent the sheriff from going out. And I think a jail always is going to be in the discussion, maybe in better economic times. What I hear on your show, our economic forecast is a little bit concerning as well. And people that own a home see that as well.
Well, I know that when you're talking about $1.57 per thousand, which is what they were proposing, and I'm thinking, I think my assessed value on my house is like $250,000 or something, which is not unusual, right? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's like all of a sudden, you're having to write a $300-$350 extra dollar check, each year, or maybe a little bit more, maybe closer to $400-$500, and you start talking real money. And I think people see that and just go, yeah, I know we'd like it. Yeah, we'd like it, but yeah, that's.
But like a lot of people are doing right now is kind of make and do. We have a jail, and we are making do for sure. But in my view, based on my personal vote to not refer it, was based on the fact that we did put, not that $32,000 is a big money in light of county budgeting, but it's significant, and the significant accuracy of this company surveying, I I put a lot of confidence in. The fact of our economic forecast looks pretty concerning moving forward, and that the bond measure at the end of 20 years runs us in a significant deficit.
Yeah, you got a new jail. You get a new jail, but you're kind of kicking some budgeting issues for it way down, kicking the can way down the road, which is
yeah.
I mean, when
there's
you start
no magic
off,
pot of money.
Yeah. When you start off with that, how much is in reserves right now in Jackson County's budget? Pretty sizable.
We're gonna put as far as into the jail, the $40 million in reserves. Added to the bond measure that would have been or may eventually get voted on, and that will grow as well. And I think we're pushing the $100 million mm-hmm. in reserves, but it keeps us in a solid operating position on behalf of the citizens for sure, and being used very frugally, in my opinion, best we can. So it is a vote. I mean, I went to the people before. It should be a vote of the people. It should never be a surcharge, in my opinion. It should be something like this is big. It should be by the voice of the people. And if Sheriff Sickler, if he comes up with something really great that he is pushing to get information out there that was lacking in the survey, that will be helpful for people's understanding. How that moves forward, I guess, waits to be seen, and we'll wait to hear from him on that.
I don't know if you can answer this question.
Future steps.
Okay. I don't know if you can answer this one, Commissioner. I just want to be clear that a listener had mailed a question to me saying that if there was this jail, this would be a standalone part of the tax bill, its own district, right? Its own taxing district is what it was going to be, right?
Yes.
Like
the library district.
Okay.
Similar, except that's not under our control. But say like the extension district, it would be under the control of the commissioners that have been elected into office.
Mm-hmm. And you look at just that taxing district would almost be at $1.57, would have been very close to what Jackson County charges taxpayers just for Jackson County proper, which pays for everything right now. Isn't that right?
At two dollars and a penny. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Jails and personnel, that's not cheap, is it?
Hmm. No, and continues to rise quickly. But it is all pretty encapsulated in the projections as accurately as possible for the cost and the evaluation of those costs moving forward. Like say for 20 years that would have to be looked at before year 20, that's for sure.
Okay.
But wouldn't it be great to return back to the $33 million a year in ONC timber receipts and use that money for county services?
Yeah, I know. Well, a fella and a woman can dream, can't we? But I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
And the sheriff for his jail.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be awesome. And we do support that. We secured land, which I thought was really a great move at that time for the future site of a jail and maybe a treatment center. But that treatment center, isn't run by the county. We can't force it. We could not enforce people to go there where you can't make somebody go to treatment, which has been part of the problem with Measure 110. They thought it'd be all treatment and everything would be fine. Well, you can't make people go to treatment.
Yeah, you can't force them.
All we're offering here is the jail.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Colleen Roberts with me this morning. By the way, the deflection program starting in Jackson County?
I believe in September.
September.
And we're building on a lot of programs we already have in place and looking how to
streamline. Yeah, and by the way, that is part of the Measure 110 so-called fix that I'm not a huge fan of. But is that delivered through the current Jackson County Jail or through another mechanism? I'm curious.
I think it's delivered through many mechanisms. Like I say, this integrated criminal justice system and some through the jail. I think all Health and Human Services, the jail, treatment center, transition center, everybody's working together on how to see how that's going to work and making it work here in starting in September. And what that looks like, too, awaits to be seen unfold when it rolls out in September.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm waiting to hear the excuses made by the liberal intelligentsia. Just kidding. why it doesn't work. Why is it not working?
But, I know.
Yeah, all right, we'll see. Commissioner Roberts is on the show with me this morning. We've been talking about the not completely scuttled plans for the Jackson County Jail, but it's certainly looking a little less likely in the near future. But good morning, caller. Did you want to talk with the commissioner about this? Go ahead.
Yeah. Look, I'm a citizen of Jackson County, and I'm... I got a whole bunch of questions about this, and it's mostly kind of based out of frustration.
Yeah.
So look, up in Eugene recently, they put a bond measure in front of the citizens up there to pay for, you know, can you do it on the stars?
There wasn't enough on your
part, but Let me pull around. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going through a line of Starbucks. Anyway, look. I understand, and they said, no, I understand that, but this is a law enforcement issue in Jackson County.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't understand why we have to spend $32,000 on a survey. We have to go begging to the people for something that seems to be essential to me, you know, for law enforcement. So that's one of my questions. The other question is, you know, I heard her talking about the cost. Is this put out for bid? Is it going to be prevailing wage? I just have a billion questions about this, about why it can't get done. It seems like a necessity. The county, the city, and we spend money on all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Okay, but we can't build a jail because you asked the taxpayers, and, you know, it's like we need a jail. It's a law enforcement thing. And you ask the taxpayers, and they just say, no, we don't want to spend more money. It seems like there's a huge disconnect there, and I really don't understand it. I don't understand it
at all. Hey, I appreciate the call, and by the way, enjoy your coffee there. But we'll see if we can answer. No, it's okay. Hey, it happens. Yeah, I had you on hold here for a while. So, Commissioner, I don't know if you want to handle any of that. The thing is, though, it may be a necessity, but the county just can't impose a jail on people. I don't believe they can, or can they?
Well, we could. We could put out a different kind of tax that goes out on everybody, and that hasn't not been considered by this board.
Kind of like the cities where they do their utility fee, and whether you like
and
it or not,
them
yeah, just to breathe air,
money.
Yeah, just to breathe air, we're going to charge you $60 a month. You know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it is a huge cost estimated for, like, say, for this. This consideration we're looking at is $233 million for building and operating. And both are huge expenses. And the survey, I guess, just, in my opinion, gave, for me, either the confidence to refer it or not.
And yeah. Well, and honestly, I want to say, caller, I appreciate what the caller is saying. $32,000 is not even close to being a rounding error in county budget, not to make light of it,
right.
but it was, when you're talking about trying to ask voters for $250 million, you want to see that, well, excuse me, if there's
what's
any chance
temperature for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What's the temperature? You know, if everyone's just going to vote no, then all we're doing is spinning wheels and wasting a lot of money and time trying to do that. People will get,
and it is improved from last time. Last time it was more closer to 70% no. And this time it's just hovering a little below 50%. So do we need one? Obviously, we'd love to have a new jail. And it is financing it that is funding it, paying for it is the issue, and operating it. I mean, we could build jails like we built libraries, and then we can afford to run them. And that is irresponsible. You know, lesson learned. And there was a jail built before I got elected at Hood River, that never opened.
I remember
and I
that.
I think you can make huge mistakes budgeting that way. And so we've tried to include everything to not go that direction and have something responsible and for the money the citizens are putting into this.
All right. And you basically need the people to be backing you on this kind of thing. All right.
Yes.
I'm talking with Commissioner Roberts, Jackson County. Hi. Good morning, caller. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, yeah, hi. Good morning. You're on with Commissioner Roberts.
Hi, Vivian Kirkpatrick-Felger from Josephine County.
Hi, Vivian.
We have a number of beds that are never filled in our Josephine County jail, and I was thinking maybe you could contract for your overflow with Josephine County. We can't afford to staff the jail to fill the beds, so maybe you could afford to do that until you contain your problem in Jackson County. You have room over here. We have room over here for your offenders.
Mm-hmm. You know, Vivian, that's an interesting question. I brought that up several times over the years, and thank you for the call. And I think one of the issues, I suppose you probably could, if we really got down to it, if the voters made it clear that they didn't want to do this, we could contract for some extra capacity, and maybe you put the sex offenders that are waiting for a long time for trial over in the Joe County Jail. But I don't know if how that works with, when you're talking about hearings and trials, and if you can do it with video conference, or if you would have to bring the prisoners back and forth every time for court appearances. Do you know anything? Have they talked about that here, Commissioner?
I know that's been brought up a couple times, and I don't remember the concerns about that in transport and court availability and how that works. And that would probably be a great answer from the sheriff.
Okay. All right. Let me go to the next one there. Commissioner Roberts is here. Good morning. Hi. Who is this? Welcome.
Yes, Joel over at the Iron Gate.
Yeah, Joel.
I keep thinking, why can't somebody like Johnson Builders put us up a giant shelter for 1/4 the price, and we can put the low risk.
Yeah, put the low risk people in it. Welcome to the bureaucracy of Oregon. Not that I wanted to put words in your mouth, Commissioner, but isn't that really the issue here?
And I didn't hear everything you said. Just something about a lower.
In other words, getting
jail.
A lower cost shelter, you know, for low risk offenders. But Oregon's pretty strict on the standards of what you're allowed to build and call it a jail. I mean, really, I think there's just certain minimum standards.
That is true, and we do have the transition center that houses those, maybe that population he's talking about, that is a wonderful facility and is a transitional facility for those between jail and returning to society for help and housing and to meet their needs. And so really is an integrated criminal justice system that utilizes all those things. And really, we have it right here in many forms in Jackson County. But a jail requirements does meet a higher threshold.
And I remember being a fan of how Joe Arpaio over in Arizona was doing a lot of that stuff. But as I don't know if people know about that, he was practically sued out of existence over... You know, the way that they were running the jails with, very cheaply, running them out in the open in tents and things like that. And, you know, just like you had the ACLU suing Spokane today over homeless encampments and moving them along, you would have the same thing happen if you tried doing it in Oregon. Like I said, Oregon, and I wish it weren't that case, but we have the laws that must be followed here. Am I wrong about that? Or
No, you are very right about that. And we're trying to do it that way, and affordability wise. And we have a jail that runs very efficiently, and except for the capacity, always when they do their grand jury inspections, we get high evaluations on its efficiency. It's just the size and probably the model more linear than the podular. But it does serve its purpose now. Yeah, we're going to grow in 20 years too. And I know this is probably even not starting building it kicks the can down the road. It's more expensive now than it was in 2018 when it went before the voters.
Nothing's getting cheaper, sure.
What do the voters want to afford? I mean, is there cost benefit analysis for them?
And until the voters change their mind, That's where we find ourselves. That's where the board finds itself. Okay. And so you're not willing then to just say, hey, we're going to do like a city does around here, and well, we know that you don't really want this, but we're going to give it to you good and hard and put it on your utility bill, right? You know, that kind of thing. You're not going to do that.
I'm not supportive of that.
Okay.
And our board has not expressed that desire as well.
Imagine that. Imagine
that's
that.
Good news.
Reflecting will of the people rather than the will of the machine. Okay, let me.
What government can't use more money, right?
All right. Now, is this Vivian or someone else on the phone here? I forget if I hung up on you or not. Is this you? Okay, I that person's not listening. Okay, so I thought you had another caller, but that's all right, Commissioner. Hey, Commissioner, we appreciate the take here. What is next, then? Is this just going to be going away and waiting for the sheriff to come back with another plan, or is this going to be laying low for a while, in your opinion?
I don't think he's laying low. I think he was encouraged with the survey results, felt that they were headed in the right direction of support, and he just feels that he has more information, that he wants to really meet with communities, meet with the Health and Human Service, behavior health industry, how we can work together, and he will bring that back to us. Not the information, but how he wants to proceed, and we were interested in that to see what his next steps were. I don't think it's ever going to be off the table while we have land sitting there waiting for it and know that we have a need for it. And we're always looking for better ways to fund it and to make it a workable thing for everybody.
All right.
So
okay, here's an official policy. The county buys a few Powerball tickets each week. And you never know. You might hit the...
I'll bring that up next meeting.
You know, you hit the $800 million jackpot when they get up to that point or something like that. Okay, no problem with the jail, all right? Go ahead and start
building.
Bingo,
here's our jail.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I did want to be sure encourage your listeners to be sure and be, you have about 2 weeks to get comments in on the Board of Forestry's rulemaking and the wildfire map. We need to blow up their lines with our comments and concerns about them. That's a horrible thing coming to landowners in Southern Oregon. And all the links where we put on our webpage for the county, and I know I mailed them, I'll mail them out to anybody who would want them, just get a hold of me. But I think the 15th and the 16th were both final days for commenting. The problem being, is that the individual landowners that are in the high risk wildland urban interface won't get their letter of that they're in it till October 1st.
Which is after the comment period.
Yes. Okay. Their only option is going to be to appeal it, which by then the rulemaking will be done. And the map is just a mess. It is not any more accurate than the last iteration.
Well, Commissioner, in my opinion, I think you would probably agree with me on this one. There's only one thing that's going to take care of Senate Bill 762, and that is legislative action to repeal it. And maybe the people have to do this. Okay.
And to do that, I have checked into that. It'd be 2026. It has to be a general election to repeal a state ballot. And I looked into that to see how, as a citizen, I can start that process. And we're not too late on that. It just would not come to a vote till 2026.
Commissioner Roberts, we appreciate the time this morning. And thanks for the update on both jail policy and also the fire map, too. A lot of people hot and bothered about that. No pun intended. Okay. Thank you.
I know. Lots to think about. Thank you.